From KMUW Studios and part of the NPR Podcast Network, this is Books and Whatnot. I'm Beth Golay, host of KMUW's Marginalia Podcast.
And I'm Suzanne Perez, KMUW's resident book reviewer. This podcast was recorded on December 17th, 2024, so any references to new or forthcoming and the like are relative. Hey, Beth.
Hey, Suzanne.
And we have a guest with us today.
We do. We are continuing with our discussions, our monthly discussions with independent bookstore owners. And today I am thrilled that we have in studio Latasha Kelly, owner of the new Left on Red bookstore in Wichita. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Can you talk to us a little bit about your store? I said it's brand new. When did it open?
So our grand opening was November 30th.
Wow.
So we're going into our third week.
And she's with us. I'm so flattered.
So the concept is, if you're familiar with text language, left on red means, you know, somebody got your text, they saw it. You can see that they saw it, but they did not respond to you. So they left you on red. And so it's just thinking about how often Black authors, authors of color, are kind of left on red. They're not amplified. And when you go into more traditional mainstream bookstores, sometimes we're relegated to a very small section or no section. So just trying to flip the script, so to speak, on that and highlight Black authors and show the different genres that authors of color are writing in, and even tapping into the local writing scene and making sure that our local independent writers and authors are in store and getting their stories told too.
Your store is in that gallery alley right off of Douglas, right?
Yes.
Easy to get to, especially from here.
Yes, very close. I love being in that alley. It's so colorful, for one, and just the traffic that I get. There's a lot of community members that live right in the area that have kind of stumbled upon us. And then I've really been trying to do better with my social media. So I kind of ask, hey, how did you hear about us? And a lot of people have also heard from us on social media. So we've gotten a very diverse mix of supporters, and that's really exciting as well.
And you were telling me that the local bookstore community has been really helpful.
Oh, my goodness. The local bookstore community has reached out in so many ways, and just, it's been a learning curve. I'll be honest, and I'm thankful that they see it as a community versus competition. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's terrific. So your store really highlights books by and about people of color. Mm-hmm. We are so excited to have you here, because today we are here celebrating a happy new year. Happy 2025. Yay.
That was happy. Really good.
Well, happy new year to you both. And the new year for me always means a brand new year for the 2025 Read ICT Challenge.
And what year are we in?
I was going to say 2025.
No, how many years have you been doing the challenge? I haven't even had a sip yet. Neither has Suzanne.
This is the ninth year for this challenge.
That's amazing.
So I know, I'm so excited. It has grown and thrived, and it's flourishing. And 9 years now we have been partnering with the Wichita Public Library and the Wichita Eagle on this challenge. For those who don't know, we'll have all kinds of information online for you. But essentially, every year there are 12 categories that we announce at the end of December. And the challenge for anyone out there, you don't even have to live in Wichita, is to read a book that fulfills each of these 12 categories. You don't have to do it in order, but throughout the year, we are challenging you to kind of broaden your reading horizon, step out of your comfort zone maybe, and find some new books, new authors, new genres, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So rather than talking about our current reads necessarily, although we may talk about books we've read, we're going to talk about books that will fulfill each of these 12 categories. And we're just going to go one by one and talk about that. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, so I guess I'll start.
You start.
Challenge category number one is a book with a flower or plant on the cover. We love these categories with just something on the cover, because it can be anything. So I have a couple of books that are on my shelf that I have not read. I have By Any Other Name by Jodi Picoult. Is it Picoult?
I've heard Picolt. I've heard Pacu. I don't know.
Okay.
We should have her on. Hey, yeah. Jody, call
Jody,
in.
By Jody. By Any Other Name, which is a novel about a woman who lived in Shakespeare's time. It has a gorgeous cover with these beautiful flowers on it. And I was also thinking, I just the other day bought a novel by Bonnie Jo Campbell. It's just out in paperback called The Waters. And it also has beautiful flowers on the cover.
Okay. What about you, Tasha?
So I selected The Blacker the Berry by Wallace Thurman. I have read this one. I read it actually as part of the text that I had to read for my comprehensive exams. And I love that it's a fiction, a novel, because sometimes people assume that you can only use like academic research for those kinds of things. But just the lived experience of the main character really tapped into what I was looking into. But some iterations of the E version of the book have a flower, or because it's The Blacker the Berry, it has like a plant with berries on it. So
nice.
I felt like I could go with this.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Count it, as we like to
you
say.
You will hear Suzanne say that all the time. Count
people,
it.
People ask me, we have, by the way, a Read ICT Challenge Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, someone will be like, can I read this or that? And I'm like, yes, there are no Read ICT Challenge police that are going to come and, yeah, arrest you for reading the wrong book. So, yeah.
Although
count
I
it.
Would be good at that job.
Yes, you would. You would.
Okay, so my selection for a book with a flower or plant on the cover, I struggled with this one.
Really?
Because, I don't know, I didn't go and look at all my books on my shelf. I looked on a few of the books on my desk. I Googled, what's a book with a plant or flower coming out in 2025? There was a list from Goodreads that came up with 960 titles on it.
Wow.
But none of them really, I didn't recognize any of those. And so I did some other research. One I did find on my desk. I have no idea if this is good or not. It's We Would Never. It's by Tova Mervis. And this book comes out in February. I'm just glancing at it. It's a woman floating on a floaty in a pool in a backyard, and I see some shrubbery, so that's a plant. So I would count that. But one I did select, because I also went to our, you know how we can listen to books from Penguin Random House ahead of the time the book comes out.
Yes.
There's a 4-minute listen out there of a book called Girls on the Rise by Amanda Gorman.
Oh,
and you recognize that name.
Yes.
She was the poet at Biden's inauguration. She was like the young, is she still the current young poet laureate? I'm not sure.
And if she was.
But this is it's a picture book, which I am counting it. And
absolutely.
There are flowers all over the
you
cover.
You can't go wrong with Amanda Gorman.
No, never.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go on to category number two. This one's going to be fun. A popular book you have never read. The possibilities are endless, okay?
Yeah, true.
I have to say, when I was looking at my shelves at home, I was immediately drawn to The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. That has been all over Book Talk, all over the Read ICT page. I have not read it.
I have two copies.
Okay.
Because my daughters read it for a book club and hated it, so they both gave me their copies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But everybody
else
likes
praise.
It, right?
High praise from the Golay family.
There you go. But sometimes that's all the more reason to read it, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. And then can we talk about Colleen Hoover?
Oh, I've never read
me
Colleen.
Either.
Yeah.
Me and Colleen Hoover, you know, she, I mean, very almost responsible for the rise of Book Talk, you might say, all of the Coho fans out there. And my niece, Allison, has been begging me to read Verity by Colleen Hoover. So that could be it for me. How about you, Tasha?
I have read like 2 chapters of Verity and uh-huh. I didn't
go on?
Yeah.
You DNF'd it. That's
yes.
Okay.
I'm going to circle back. But my pick is The Other Black Girl by Zakiya Dalila Harris. I say it's popular because it also was popular on Book Talk, mm-hmm. and they adapted it into a show for Hulu, which I really, really enjoyed. And, you know, they say the book is always better.
Always.
I interviewed her.
Oh. Yeah, we had. Yeah. That was a Literary Feast book pick for us
yes.
the year it came out.
Okay. So I'm excited to
yeah.
dive into that one.
Very
that
good.
That was good.
My book, a popular book I've never read, Nickel Boys. By Colson
oh,
Whitehead. And the movie, is it coming out or has come out? I know Fletcher Powell, our movie reviewer, has seen it. But, you know, he gets to see movies ahead of time a lot of times. And he asked me, have you read Nickel Boys? And I said, yeah, I remember starting it and I had to stop because it was a little bit too much for me. I couldn't handle it at the time. I did find out over the weekend I have 2 copies of that one, too. But he did this, like, mind-blown gesture to me when he said he saw the movie. Mm-hmm. And so I do have to read the book before I see that movie. So that's why that's on my list.
You read Underground Railroad, though,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I've heard, you know, some of our friends who have read both Underground Railroad and Nickel Boys say Nickel Boys is a much better book. So yeah. I don't know.
I like them both. I cannot wait for the Nickel Boys movie, though.
It's going to be, woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disturbing, I'm sure, too. Yeah. But that, yeah, that is definitely a one with the disturbing topics and things
right.
like that. But, you know, that's part of, you know, when you're broadening your reading, and certainly you probably come in, you know, sort of deal with this and, yeah. and people not wanting to read anything that makes them uncomfortable.
Yes.
But a lot of these are going to challenge your points of view.
Definitely. Some challenge me. I think it's good for all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Category number three is a book by or about a person with a disability. Usually, at least one Read ICT category is kind of a nod to the Wichita Big Read book. Mm-hmm. And this is that category this year. The 2025 Wichita Big Read selection is a book called Sitting Pretty, The View from My Ordinary Resilient Disabled Body by Rebecca Taussig. So the Wichita Big Read kicks off in March of 25, and there will be lots of different events and, you know, sort of special things happening throughout the community related to that book and about sort of differently abled people and the issues surrounding that. I'm really looking forward to reading that one. And then another one on my shelf that I looked at was a novel called True Biz by Sarah Novick, and it's about a hearing impaired character. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have on my list. Mm-hmm. How about you, Tasha?
I picked An Unkindness of Ghost by River Solomon. I haven't read this one yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. The author, Solomon, identifies as neurodivergent, queer, and is on the autism spectrum. And so all of that resonates with me personally, and I love how they have incorporated that experience into the lived experience of the main character. There's Afrofuturism in there. So I'm excited to read this one.
I am too. I recently read River Solomon's Model Home, mm-hmm. which came out, which was a horror novel. And
yes.
Wow, I loved it. I am looking forward to exploring their backlist as well. So
same.
All right.
I have An Unkindness of Ghost, but I've not tackled it. And
ooh, this, let's do a buddy read.
Ooh.
Yeah, we know how that turns out, Suzanne.
Tasha, all of our reading goals are just like, you know, it's all about ambition.
I just wanted to interject. Part of why I picked this one as well is because my last work experience prior to becoming a full-time entrepreneur, it was a very toxic, racist environment. But part of what made it so toxic was that they were not culturally competent, especially as it pertained to some of the more hidden disabilities. And so that's another reason why I was excited to read this novel.
Right. Neurodiversity is, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely one of those hidden, differently abled kind of qualities. And it definitely counts for this category. Absolutely.
My selection for that category, I actually do not have a specific selection, but for our short story group, I told the group that I would find a short story by William Trevor. And when I was doing all my research on William Trevor, I discovered that he likes to include in his stories and novels people with disabilities. So I'm going to choose something by William Trevor, but I don't know what that is yet.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, very cool. Category number four is a graphic novel, book adaptation, or memoir. So I know that sounds a little like an oxymoron, graphic novel. But what we're looking for, ideally, is a graphic interpretation of like a classic novel. I have Slaughterhouse-Five, the graphic novel, on my list. I have read before Handmaid's Tale, the graphic novel. So there's a lot of those out there, and also so many memoirs to choose from. What do you have, Tasha?
So I'm just getting into the graphic novel
yeah.
game. So I have Big Jim and the White Boy. So I actually have on my list of 12, two titles that are interpretations of Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah.
And so this is the graphic novel one by David Walker and Marcus Anderson that is kind of flipping the story and giving it from the perspective of Big Jim.
I received that. I remember looking through yep. that. Did I give that one to you then?
Yeah, yeah, I actually read it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And that has this interesting sort of triple timeline thing going on, which is very cool. Yeah.
I have to give a shout out to my daughter, Lizzie, for this help with this category, because I was visiting her out of town, and I said, Liz, I need help. I have to fill out these categories, and I know nothing about graphic novels. So she got on Reddit, and they told her that by far the best one is Slaughterhouse-Five, which you've already mentioned.
Good.
But then they also mentioned The Wizard of Oz in 1984. So I'm going to look into those.
Awesome. And I have several for you that you can borrow.
Okay.
They're good for, like, juicing your reading stats, because you can read them in a sitting sometimes.
That's true. I probably should name the authors of all of those. Oh. Slaughterhouse-Five is Kurt Vonnegut. Wonderful Wizard of Oz is L. Frank Baum. 1984 is George Orwell. But I don't know who did the adaptations of these graphic novels. So I will look that up.
We'll
put those in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put them in the show notes. I do know Slaughterhouse-Five, the graphic novel, is with Ryan North and Albert Montes.
Okay.
I have that jotted down here.
We'll give you guys credit.
Yeah. Category number five is a book set on a different continent. So
yes.
There are six to choose from, right? Any continent you don't live on. The one I have is one I've been meaning to read, as so many of these are, is Burnham Wood by Eleanor Catton. That's set in Australia, and that's kind of all I know about it, other than Shane at Watermark loved it last year and pressed it into my hands. So that's the one I'm thinking of. How about you, Tasha?
I went with Cass, The Origins of Our Discontents by Isabel Wilkerson. So this is another one I kind of stretched a little bit.
That's all right.
But Wilkerson went to Europe and Asia to actually do research for this book. So, and I have read this one, and I really, really enjoyed it. I was able to use it for my research, too.
That's awesome. That has been on my reading list forever, too.
Mm-hmm. And there's a movie called Origins. It came out in 2023. That's about Wilkerson's journey in writing the book.
Awesome.
Oh, so interesting. I pulled from my reading list from school this last semester. So I've already read this one. But I just kept thinking of, this was the one that just kept coming top of mind when I thought about another continent. Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin.
Oh.
It's set primarily in Paris. Part of it's set in the United States, but I don't care. I'm counting it.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, mainly set in Paris. The room, Giovanni's Room, is in Paris. If you're looking at the, you know.
Yes. Count
it. Not the metaphorical room, but the actual room. The literal room is in Paris.
Yes.
Okay, so also, A Short Walk Through a Wide World by Douglas Westerbeek. And this is the one where the narrator, if she stays in one place too long, she starts to die. Like, her nose will start bleeding. And, I mean, she can just feel the sickness coming on. It might be 4 days that she can stay in one place. It might be 4 hours. But she always has to be on the move. And she can never return to the same place twice. So, like, she circumvents the globe. I don't remember how many times. But this came out earlier this year. And I just really, really enjoyed it.
It has really stuck with you. I think
it
you've
has.
Mentioned it a couple of times. And I think that premise is so cool.
Yeah.
The writing was really well done, too. And sometimes it's just a combination of everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then when you mentioned Australia, it reminded me of The Burrow by Melanie Chang. That is set in some city. I couldn't remember it when we recorded it before, and I can't remember it now, but it's set in Australia. But I loved that book so much.
And you also read the one recently about the Russian ballerinas.
So that, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
That was City of Nightbirds by Juhei Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was set in Moscow and St. Petersburg and Paris. So, different continents.
These categories can be interpreted so broadly. I should have said early on, too, there are no boundaries. They can be fiction. They can be nonfiction. They can be children's books. Anything that you think fulfills the categories is good to go.
Count it.
All right. We're down to category six, which is kind of a choose-your-own-adventure category. It is cozy mystery, romanticy, or true crime. Pick one. Or pick three or two. It doesn't matter. So on my list, I have and have forever had The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern. I hear that's a romanticy.
You know, Carly Cooper just mentioned that to me when I needed help with this category, too. I love that book.
Oh, see.
It was so well done.
People love it. I've not read it, so I would count that. Or I also have, in the true crime possibility, The Fact of a Body, A Murder and a Memoir by Alessandria Marzano Lesnovich. Heard great things about that. And then the true crime category, I've got to put a plug in for In Cold Blood by Truman Capote.
I've never read that.
If you haven't read
goodness.
That.
I have when I was in high school.
It's got the Kansas connection.
Right.
And then The Killers of the Flower Moon by David Graham.
Yes.
Yeah, so true crime. I mean, just go, yeah, go forth, pick something. I'm going to try and pick something that challenges me a little, like the romanticy. I'm not normally a romanticy reader.
Me either.
Yeah.
My pick is The Coldest Winter Ever by Sister Soldiers. So some may not consider it a classic, but I consider it a classic. It's definitely, I think, one of those novels for young Black women in my generation that was like a coming of age. Pretty much all of us read it. And there were always rumors growing up about there's going to be a movie. And it just, at one point, Jada Pinkett Smith was going to play, this person or that person. And it just never came about, even though there have been so many sequels. So anyway, it's not, there's definitely crime. It's not mm-hmm. true crime, though. It's a fiction. And there's romance. And I don't, as you can tell from the title, it's not really cozy.
Count it.
Dasha, I think it depends on your definition of cozy, right?
True.
I mean, those of us who love horror novels would feel nice and cozy cuddled up reading that.
That is true.
Mine, see, I know nothing really about cozy mystery or romanticy, and I really don't like to read true crime. So I asked my colleague, Carly Cooper, and she said, oh, ACOTAR.
Oh, like, goodness.
What? Sarah J. Maas, it has its own acronym. It's A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. And she, see, I really don't even know what this is about. So she said it's a Beauty and the Beast retelling, but with fairies. It's not well written, but fairies are fun.
I tell you what, I was so clueless about romanticy that when I first heard the ACOTAR series, I was thinking, is that like Avatar?
Right.
Like, is there some ACOTAR character
same.
In there?
Same.
It's an acronym for A Court of Thorns and Roses. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, my gosh. We have a lot of learning to do in Category 6. All right. Category 7 is a book featuring a strong woman. Let's hear it for us, first of all. Three strong women right
Cheers.
Here. Cheers.
Chin, chin.
We'll hear that. The one that immediately came to mind is one that I read recently, although it came out a while ago, Matrix by Lauren Groff.
Oh, yeah.
And I told Beth after I read this, it was her favorite book of the year when it came out, and I said, why didn't you tell me it was about badass nuns?
I just told you to listen to my interview with Lauren Groff, and I figured you'd go read it.
Oh, man. It was so great. But what you talk about, I mean, there's so many great novels and biographies and autobiographies and so many books that will celebrate strong women. What's yours, Latasha?
Mine is Kindred by Octavia Butler. And I think Dana, the main character, just is strong in a multitude of ways. I always remember thinking whenever I read, and I don't read a lot of books more than once, but this is one that I keep going back to. But I always think, like, the wherewithal that she had after the first instance of, I think I can say this without it being a spoiler, but it's like time travel is in there, to think about what she needed to prepare for the next time it might happen. I was just like, I definitely would not have been in that space. So I think there's the physical strength, but also the mental fortitude as well. Kindred by Octavia Butler.
Awesome.
I met her in an elevator.
What?
Oh my goodness.
It was in an elevator, but I'm counting it. We had a little conversation.
As you should.
Oh, I was with Sarah Bagby. And
that's
awesome. Wow. Really nice. Okay, so for my selection for this category, I actually turned to a book that I got my reading list for my next class. And I think this book that I've selected is going to count. It's called Untold Story by Monica Ali.
Oh.
And it's a look at Princess Diana had she not been killed.
Oh, wow.
Like, what would have happened?
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good pick, Beth.
Thank you.
Wow,
and the other one, don't get mad at me, Same As It Ever Was by Claire Lombardo, only because of Helen Russo.
Oh,
this character in this book, I just want to be her. She was just a minor character. Well,
no,
she was,
I'd say
she wasn't the main
strong
character.
Strong supporting character.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I say count it. And actually, you could argue that the main character of that novel was pretty strong herself in
yes,
different
that's
ways.
True.
She was annoying, but strong.
Yeah, so that's
all right.
My category.
Those are great. Okay, a category number 8 is a book with two or more points of view. Wow. Again, so many possibilities. This will be a good one, though. Sometimes you don't know it until you start it or until someone lets you know about it ahead of time. So it'll be great to go online to the Read ICT group on Facebook and get recommendations for this as the year goes on. One that came immediately to mind for me was The God of the Woods by Liz Moore, which was one of my favorite reads this year.
Oh, we did have different perspectives there.
Yeah, it was different perspectives, different timelines. It was, we saw, from the campers point of view and from, yeah, so it was the detectives, and I loved that novel. Mm. And then I'm also interested in finally reading The Biography of X by Catherine Lacey. Mm. That is on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Tasha?
My pick is Child of God by Lolita Files. So I want to remind everybody that we're in our We Listen But Don't Judge era.
Sure, we listen but we don't judge.
I love this book. This is another one that I've read more than once. It's a book that I've read to, so I like reading aloud, and I like reading aloud to people. So when I was in college, I'm from Virginia, and there was a hurricane that came through, and we didn't have power for like 3 weeks. It was a lot going on. But I was reading to my best friend and roommate and my boyfriend at the time, and I was reading this book to them. And mm-hmm. we started imagining if they turned it into a movie, who the characters would be. But there's a lot of things that are going on in the book. A brief synopsis is that it follows a Southern Black family as they navigate trauma, faith, and generational healing. So it's always told in third person, but it shifts each chapter to a different point of view. So
awesome. That sounds like a great read.
I have a couple of recommendations. The first is The Antidote by Karen Russell. This book, I believe, comes out in March, and she's coming to Wichita. But it is I'm pulling this straight from the publisher notes. Mm-hmm. It's a gripping Dust Bowl epic about five characters whose fates become entangled after a storm ravages their small Nebraska town. And so I started reading it, and every chapter it's in first person. It's I. And so I think that would be interesting. But another interesting study in point of view, and there are only two books in this three-book plan series out, but Marlon James wrote a series. The first book was called Black Leopard, Red Wolf. The second one was Moon Witch, Spider King. They're the same story, but they're told from different perspectives. But each story, each perspective is a full-on book.
I haven't read them, but a lot of people have been coming by left on read and purchasing, and I've had to restock. So I'm looking forward to diving into those, too.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you just have time to devote to, like, reading one book, reading mm-hmm. another. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking him, if people read Moon Witch Spider King before they read Black Leopard Red Wolf, are they going to be upset because you're changing, you know, what happened? He's like, well, I certainly hope so. Anyway, it was, Marlon James is fantastic.
Yeah, we have another category coming up that I would put that into, but we'll come back to it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Category number 9 is a book featuring group dynamics. Now, this can be any kind of novel that features lots of people. It can be, obviously, you know, I love a good dysfunctional family novel. One I've been meaning to read forever, it also happens to have flowers on the cover, by the way, is The Ensemble by Asia Gable.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about a quartet. It's about a musical group that practices and tours together and all the sort of different dynamics that go on there. And then I also have to shout out Search by Michelle Hunnevin, mm-hmm. which is about a Unitarian Universalist church committee looking for a new pastor. And there is no drama like church drama. And
right.
the group dynamics in that novel were so interesting, fascinating. So I would those would be two that I think would fulfill that category.
I selected You Are Your Best Thing. It's edited by Tarana Burke and Brené Brown. And it's an anthology of essays by Black writers that looks into vulnerability and collective healing. So that's why I picked it for the group dynamics piece of it.
A collection of essays. Mm-hmm. That's also a little different than we normally get.
The one I'm selecting, I'm halfway through it, but it's The Wedding People by Allison Esbach, because as I'm listening, I just keep thinking, oh, talk about group dynamics. Because
weddings.
It's this wedding. It's not a destination wedding, but everybody is there for a week. And yeah, I don't even think I really have to say anything else other than it's a getaway for a week for a wedding.
What a great pick. I just recently read that myself and I didn't think about it, but you are absolutely right. The group dynamics in that book. You know, I should also say that anything that's like has to do with leadership, mm-hmm. business sense, that sort of thing. I recently read a book called Unreasonable Hospitality that's about, the restaurant industry and everything it takes to be successful in that realm. And that's a lot about group dynamics, you know, how you get along with people, customers, you know, colleagues. So I'm looking forward to hearing about a lot of great books in that category. Okay, that brings us to category number 10, a book that scares you. Now, I've got to say, this does not need to be a horror novel, although it certainly can be. I would actually put the Marlon James series in this category because it's so intimidating.
It is intimidating. But, you know, I listen and read at the same time, which is how I get through those books.
Yeah. I just think anything that, you know, requires you the sort of world building, the length of those novels, it all can be a little scary for people who aren't used to reading that sort of thing. So that is actually one that I thought of. The Count of Monte Cristo is a doorstop. And I've never read it.
So good.
I know. Maybe this is my year, Beth.
Oh, I hope so.
And then I honestly really want to read The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty. I'm a little bit more into horror now. Ever since October, I delved into that genre a little bit more, and I think I'm ready for it. We'll see.
You know, Suzanne, going back to your second book, The Count of Monte Cristo, mm-hmm. it was released in serial. Just read a little bit at a time throughout the year and read it as it was intended to be
slow.
Read. You know, yeah. Our friend Katie Lanning is teaching a class like that next semester at Wichita State where they are reading as they were intended to be consumed.
And
I think that's a good way to tackle Count of Monte Cristo.
That's a great idea. And like a lot of the Dickens novels, same deal. Just read them slow and steady as you're reading other stuff. I think that's the way to do it. Maybe this is the year.
Maybe.
I'm not going to promise anything. Natasha, what book scares you?
So I have The Body Keeps the Score. So this is another one that's not like what you might traditionally think of. But for me, I started reading it and I had to put it down because it made me think of things that I have been working through in therapy. And I'm at a place now in therapy where my therapist is like, okay, we've got to go deeper. And it's scary. And so that's kind of why I stopped with this book. It explains how trauma impacts the body and mind while offering pathways for healing through therapy and self-awareness. But I don't know that I'm quite ready yet to keep going with it. But as you all were talking, another one that I have on the shelves that Left on Red that has also been flying is Jordan Peele came out with Out There Screaming, an anthology of new Black horror. And I love Get Out. I love mm-hmm. Us. But Us had my roommate and I at the time like watching each other's back as we came from the movie theater. So I'm a little bit scared to dive into this anthology, but I'm excited to.
Yeah, that's a good one. That may be the purchase from your store that I make if it's in stock.
Well, awesome. That reminds me, it wasn't on my list until now, but I have read it, One of Our Kind by Nicola Yoon.
Oh, yeah.
Reminds me of Get Out meets Stepford Wives mm-hmm. or something. Yeah. But the books on my list in that category are, the book. And I had help from my daughter with this one, too, because she said her book club read it. They loved it and hated it at the same time. A Little Life.
Oh, gosh.
By Hanya Yanagihara. And this has always intimidated me. I've had a galley of this book since they put out The Galleys. And I know you go ahead and say your feelings about this book.
It is intimidating. It should be. You have to be in the right mind space to read and really appreciate that novel. But if you are, wow. There's so many trigger warnings. I can't even begin to list them all. But trauma, violence. But in the end, you come away just never forgetting those characters. I love that novel. I do hope you read it eventually.
And I probably will read the new Grady Hendrix, which comes out in January. And that one is called Witchcraft for Wayward Girls. I've not read all of his, but I've read plenty of them. I consider Grady a friend, and I'm going to read this one.
I'm a fangirl because I love his stuff. I can't wait for that one. Okay, we're down to category number 11, which is a book with a month in the title. I know this is random, but don't forget about March and May. Those are also verbs. What's May?
I have one of those that has May that's not month related.
Okay. But one that's on my list is a novel called The 10,000 Doors of January by Alex E. Harrow. There's also an Ann Tyler book coming out in 2025, February of 25, called 3 Days in June. So looking forward to that. What'd you find, Tasha?
So I picked March.
Oh, yes, yes.
It is a graphic novel by John Lewis, Andrew Aiden, and Nate Powell. It's actually the first part of a trilogy, and it follows John Lewis's journey, like the Selma March, March on Washington. I really like this one because I teach an intro to university class for George Mason University. And in 2018, this was their Mason Reads pick. And so we were able to, all of the freshmen received it. And then we were encouraged to incorporate it in our lessons. And I really enjoyed, and the students really enjoyed it. So
that's a great pick.
Mine is March. by Geraldine Brooks.
That's a different march.
I've had this one forever. She won the Pulitzer for this one. And I remember hearing that when she gave her speech, her you know, thanking everybody when she won the prize, she publicly apologized to her husband, Tony Horowitz, who has since passed, for staying in the car at Gettysburg. Because he had been writing a book called Confederates in the Attic, and he was there doing his research, and she's like, I'll just stay in the car. And then she turns around and wins a Pulitzer for a Civil War book. Another one, May We Be Forgiven by A.M. Holmes. It's been probably more than 10 years since I read this book, but I still remember loving it. Mm-hmm. And that is not May as in the month of May, but we're counting it.
That's right.
And you said four what in June? Four Sundays in June?
3 days in June.
3 days in June.
Yeah.
There's also a book, as you were saying that, I was remembering Julia Glass wrote a book called 3 Junes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I also have, just if you're looking for more ideas, November Road.
And, oh, I loved that book.
Yeah, and 10th, can't forget 10th of December, the short story collection.
How did I even forget those?
By George Saunders.
And, and one that you are going to punch me for, I'm glad I'm so far across the table from you, All Fours by Miranda July. July isn't her last name. I'm counting it.
That's a stretch, but count it. I'm with you. Although I can't recommend. All Fours was a really interesting novel. The Perimenopause Manifesto, I call it.
Can I give another one?
Absolutely. Tasha has come up with another one.
So it's called 7 Days in June. It's by Tia Williams, and it is romance, which I'm not really into, but this one is pretty good. So
I've heard great things about that one. Very, very spicy.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Maybe that's why I like it.
All right, we're down to category number 12, which is near and dear to our hearts, especially this year. This is a book recommended by KMUW or your local library. People, this is pretty much any book you could possibly want to read, because let's not forget NPR Books We Love. It's a database. You can get to it from KMUW or just Google NPR Books We Love. This is a searchable database of books, fiction, nonfiction, you name it, going back at least 10 years, hundreds and hundreds of possibilities there. I just have a few from this year. Mad Woman by Chelsea Beaker was on that list, and Sociopath, a memoir by Patrick Gagné. I have an audio version of that I've been meaning to get to. How about you, Tasha?
So when I did my Google search, one of the first ones that popped up was James by Percival Everett.
Another sigh.
It was back ordered for a while. I've gotten special orders for it. And this is my second reimagining of Huckleberry Finn.
That was such a good one. One of our Literary Feast picks for back in 2024. And everyone loved that novel.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Mine is, this is a recommendation I heard on KMUW from Suzanne Perez in her book review.
That counts.
Is anything that you hear us talk about, books and whatnot, book review, marginalia, or anything you hear on NPR counts.
Or this podcast.
Right, which is books and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't been drinking this champagne.
The library also has something called Novelist, where you can go in there and get recommendations. But Suzanne talked about this one to me. My daughter, Lizzie, also recommended it. And it's Be Ready When the Luck Happens by Ina Garten. I need to get to that one because
I
do love
it.
Her.
Yeah. Yes, you will love that one. And yeah, and let's talk about sort of a bookish serendipity that happens when you go into the library. I love to just sometimes go into the downtown public library here in Wichita and look around. They have so many displays. Mm-hmm. You could count that. Anything that catches your eye. I love sort of the open, endless possibilities of this category. So looking forward to that. I am looking forward to this reading year. How about you guys?
Same.
Oh, my gosh. So many possibilities. One more note on the challenge. We hope to have a lot of special events related to the challenge coming up. We will continue to have book swaps every so often, which is they're very popular. And then we are hoping to have some meetups and other things. So keep up on all of those through KMUW or, like I said, the Read ICT Challenge Facebook group. Latasha, it has been so nice to have you here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait to visit your store, and it will be very, very soon, I assure you. I've already got a list of books I need to get from there.
So that's Left on Red.
Yes.
And what's the address?
612 East Douglas Avenue, Suite 200.
Very good.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds like a great place to stop.
Until next time,
keep turning those pages. Bye, Beth.
Bye, Suzanne.
Books and Whatnot is a production of KMUW Wichita. Our team of engineers, producers, editors, and hosts are Mark Statzer, Torin Anderson, Haley Krausen, Jonathan Huber, Luann Stevens, Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Suzanne Perez. You can reach us by email sent to podcasts@kmuw.org, on Twitter @BooksAndWhatnot, and on Instagram, books_and_whatnot. Find more conversations and a list of books discussed in this episode at kmuw.org.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.